We started this last week in chapter 10. We'll finish chapter 10 this morning. And as I'm looking at this passage, I see these qualities of godly leadership, what that looks like. We see Paul demonstrating that. We see certainly the context here is Paul defending his authority, defending his apostleship. And that will continue into chapter 11. But here in chapter 10, just this thought of leadership, what that looks like, I think we see Paul demonstrating that. We went through the first three of those last week. We'll go through the last seven this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, being in verse 1, it says, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beg you, that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. For such a person, consider this, that we are in word by letter when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, for they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in other men's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." So as we look at this passage, we started last week, the first thought there was certainly a spiritual leader is lowly, and we looked at meekness and gentleness, and certainly example of Christ. The second thing we see there is that godly leadership addresses issues, and certainly there is a need for wisdom in timing and words and what needs to be said, and we see Paul addressing that. And then certainly there's this thought of engaging in spiritual warfare. We spent quite a bit of time dealing with this aspect of spiritual warfare. And so we'll continue here. The number four is a genuine in relationship with Christ. Genuine relationship with Christ. Verse 7, "Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ." And you were like, yeah, that makes sense. Right? But you would be amazed how many supposed pastors, church leaders there are, who have no genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. There were those who were opposed to Paul who were claiming that leadership, were claiming to be leaders within the church, who opposed Paul, who said that Paul wasn't of Christ. And so Paul is certainly challenging that thought, that genuine in a relationship with Christ. And so certainly as those who are called to be leaders, there's this thought of there has to be this genuine relationship with Christ. I know that not all of us as we sit here are, right, what we would consider spiritual leaders necessarily. And that's okay. It's okay. I think this is important to consider and to think about in those aspects where God does allow us to have leadership, but also to consider those who are leaders and look at these qualifications and these things that Paul, we see Paul showing and exemplifying. And so he says here, do you look? And I know it's phrased as a question here, but the actual Greek word there, that look, is an imperative. It means it's a command. Look! I need you to look. What is it that you look at? The outward. Because we're not God. Right? We're not God. We can't see the inward. We can't see the heart. We would love to, but we can't. We can't see that of other people. We look at the outward appearance. Because we live in the flesh. Right? We are physical beings. We can't truly see and understand another person's heart. We just can't. We can look at the outward. We can see what's occurring on the outward for sure. And so Paul says here, what is it that you observe? What is it that you judge? What is it that, as you're looking at someone, what is it that you're looking at? Are you truly looking at who they are on the inside? No, you're looking at the results of who they are on the inside. The outward, right? You're looking at the outward appearance. You were judging that. You're considering that. And so he says here, as you are looking at that and as you are considering the inward of yourself, because we can see that, our own hearts, our own minds, what occupies that. And as we consider that and we wrestle with that, we consider ourselves before Christ and who we are in Christ, and what Christ has done for us, and certainly He is our Savior and He is the one who has cleansed us from sin. And we consider our faith and what it is that we desire and what we love and this relationship, this genuine relationship that we have as Christ, as we consider that within our own hearts and minds, as we engage in spiritual warfare that Paul just talked about here, as we engage in those things and consider what it truly means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, he says, consider us, consider who I am and judge, is this real or not? Because there were those that were claiming that Paul wasn't a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. There were those that were claiming that. And so Paul said, okay, fine. I know you can't see my heart. I know you can only see the outward. But as you were doing that, as you're looking at, does it line up with what is consistent with someone who is following Jesus? Is it consistent? And as you consider your own life and the things that do line up with Christ, as you consider me, yes, right? Reaffirm this thought. Yes, I am of Christ. That is my desire. I'm here to serve Christ. I have a genuine relationship with Christ. Certainly within the church at Corinth, there were liars. There were deceivers. By the time Paul writes this letter, it seems that many of them had left the church. There was persecution going on, and so persecution is great at cleansing the church of those who really aren't sincere. So many had left, but still there were those who were against Paul. And so Paul says here, okay, look at my life. There's this genuine relationship with Christ. We are of Christ. It is real. It is genuine. The fifth thing that we see here of spiritual leadership, of godly spiritual leadership, is the goal is edification. The goal is edification. We need to remember that and think about that. What is the goal? What is it that those who are leading, where is that? Are they leading us? And what is it that we're trying to accomplish? Edification. Verse 8. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for our destruction, I shall not be ashamed. So the goal of leadership is to build up, to edify those within the church. And so Paul uses this thought of boasting, of bragging. So he says, even if I boast and brag, even if I build up my authority even more, my authority which comes from the Lord, that's the source of my authority. Even if I were to brag and boast about that even more, the whole point, the purpose of that would be to edify you. Not me. Not to make myself look better, like, oh, I'm a church leader. Look at me. Right? No. No, Paul's like, I am this wonderful and great apostle. Look at me. No, it is about building you up, encouraging you in your relationship with Christ. That is the point. That is the purpose. It's not about me. It's not for your destruction, as Paul says here. It's not your. And evidently, there were those that were saying that Paul's desire was to tear the church apart, to create conflict, to create division. Those that were actually doing that were claiming Paul was trying to do that. Paul's like, no, I am not trying to do that. This is about edification. This is about strengthening the church, strengthening your relationship with Christ. It is not destruction. It's not sowing seeds of discord and discontent. It's not about creating conflict within the church. I'm not trying to do that. Yes, we are dealing with some issues that create conflict, but as we deal with those, the church is strengthened. And Paul here is not ashamed to use his authority. He's not ashamed here to use that authority as God had given him for the good of the church, for the edification of the church. Number six, consistently thick-skinned. And I'll be honest, this is probably one of the hardest. This is hard. Especially in leadership, but just as you consider that, just in life, this is good. Consistently thick-skinned. These were the things that people were saying about Paul. Verse 9. Lest I seem to terrify you by letters? For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. So certainly Paul had his detractors. Paul had those who were claiming and saying different things about him. There were those who were claiming that Paul was a hypocrite. He was inconsistent. And so we see Paul demonstrating this quality of being thick-skinned. Right? He took it in stride. Yes, he responds to it, but he doesn't do so in a selfish way. He doesn't do so in a prideful way. He doesn't do it in a way that, or he tries to demean others. Right? He takes it in stride. And certainly, if you are in leadership, you understand there are always going to be those who are bitter, those who just for whatever reason are never content, always have to look for reasons to complain and whine. And you just got to take it in stride, right? Be thick-skinned. You have to be. It just goes with the territory. And so we see Paul had that as well. And so one of the things that they were claiming about Paul is, Paul, look, you were here with us, and you were weak. Now back in verse 1, Paul talked about how he was meek, he was gentle, he was lowly. Among them, right? In person, as he was there with them. And there were those who took that meekness as being weak. I was like, no, that's not at all what that is. And yet then when he would write them letters, these letters were bold. These letters were harsh. These letters were certainly letters of correction. We think of 1 Corinthians. There's a lot of things that Paul deals with there. Some hard things that Paul deals. Paul refers to a letter that he had just written before 2 Corinthians. We don't have that letter, but it was a very harsh letter. It was a letter that made them grieve. It was a letter that then led to repentance, but it was hard. And so they're like, Paul, you're here. You're not saying the same things when you're here as what you say when you write letters. You're a totally different person. You are deceiving us. You're being a hypocrite. That's what people were claiming about Paul. As Paul addresses us, Paul says here, okay, look, I am the same person. Yes, when I am there with you, I may come across different than I do in my letters, but the heart is the same. My desire for you is the same. The things that we're dealing with are the same. If I need to be bold, right? If I need to get after someone for their disobedience, then I will. But I'm trying to address that in this letter so that when I come, as Paul already talked about in chapter 2, when I come, I just want it to be great fellowship time. I don't want it to be about dealing with conflict. I don't want it to have to be about face-to-face dealing with all these issues. I want that taken care of now. So that when I come, it will just be wonderful worship and fellowship. And that's why Paul's writing this letter, to lay that groundwork and that foundation. And so, but if you need that, right, if you need me to come and yell at you, I guess I will. Right? If I need that, but I'm the same person. I was thinking about this. It would be easy, I think, to say this of just about anyone. Because we are different at work than we are at home. Right? People like that you work with, there's a different relationship. You act differently. There's a different code of conduct than you are maybe than with close friends or with your family. Or whatever, like when you are in with a big, huge, large group of people. It's a different, right? It's different than in other aspects. And so Paul says, okay, just I'm not trying to deceive you. I'm not trying to be hypocritical. My heart here is to serve you. and to encourage you in your relationship with Christ. The other thing they said here is that his speech is contemptible. That means the quality of his voice was contemptible. We kind of discern from that and gather from that that Paul was not a great preacher. He wasn't. He wasn't someone that people enjoyed listening to preach. He wasn't a great preacher. That's not where God gifted him at all. Now, certainly Corinth had great preachers. Apollos came later. We know Apollos was a wonderful speaker, a great preacher. People loved listening to Apollos. And that was, right, that was who Apollos was. And Paul acknowledges that when he looked at 1 Corinthians. Paul said, I planted the seed and then Apollos came and watered, right? So there was different ministries that they had. And so it just kind of seems Paul wasn't the person that you wanted in your choir, right? It's just his voice just didn't, and that's just God given, right? It wasn't his fault. It had nothing. It was just natural ability. Right? He was not someone that people enjoyed listening to preach, and so they make fun of him. They said he's contemptible. His voice is contemptible. But he writes these letters that are amazing, right? Well, that's where Paul was gifted in that aspect of certainly being able to communicate through writing. But people fell asleep, fell out of windows when Paul preached. So that wasn't necessarily where he was gifted, but certainly when we think of Paul, he was a great teacher, for sure, within that thought, but not that. And so Paul took these criticisms, he just took it in stride. And so his desire certainly was to deal with these issues, these things with letter in person if needed to, but again, show that meekness and gentleness as needed there within relationship to the church at Corinth. So you got to be thick-skinned. It's just part. It goes with the territory. Number seven, promote Christ. Number seven, promote Christ. Verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So Paul's addressing the false teachers here, the false apostles, prophets that were in the area of Corinth. And this was their practice that he acknowledges here, is that they promoted self. They did not promote Christ, they promoted self. And so they have these expectations that they set, and they had these comparisons that they made. How many doctrines do you have? Right? I have a doctorate in divinity. Ooh, yay. Right? Whatever. Right? Whatever. Right? All this stuff, all these credentials that they had, and they compared themselves with each other to make themselves look good. They promoted themselves. They did not promote Christ. It reminds me certainly of the Pharisees, of which Paul was a Pharisee at one time. Right? They had these standards, these expectations that no one could ever meet, and yet they claimed to be meeting those expectations to promote themselves, to make themselves look good. And certainly in this, they were assaulting Paul's authority and Paul's integrity. And so Paul acknowledges here, look, this is what they're doing. Not good. Not wise. Because who is it that we should be promoting? We should be promoting Christ. That's who we should be promoting. And so certainly there were those in Paul's day that were doing this. You don't have to look too much farther than YouTube to find probably hundreds that are doing this today, right? Promoting themselves, claiming to be of Christ, claiming to teach about Jesus. And then when you watch what they have to say, it's all about them. And them trying to promote themselves. It's rampant all over the place. And so when we look at church leadership and we look at spiritual leadership, for sure, and those who are leading and who is it that we are following, who is it they promote? Do they promote Christ? Or is it all about them? Number eight, not overextended. Not overextended. Verses 13 and 14. It says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. So there's nothing worse than someone who claims authority that does not have authority. Right? It's kind of the first thing. Someone tells you what to do. Who are you? What authority do you have to be telling me what to do? Right? And it's nothing worse. When someone who thinks they have authority tries to tell you what to do, that's offensive. We take offense at that. And so certainly there were those at Corinth that were taking offense at Paul. Like, Paul, who do you think you are? We're a church. Jesus is the head. What authority do you have over us? You've overextended yourself, Paul. And so certainly those who are in leadership understand the boundaries of that leadership, understand that where it extends and where it does not extend. And so Paul wasn't claiming to have authority over all the churches. As an apostle, he certainly carried a lot of authority. But certainly at Corinth here, Paul points to not necessarily that he's an apostle, but the point that he's the one who planted the church. It's like, look, I was there. I planted the seed. I led most of you to Jesus. I led the movement that coalesced into the churches that became the church at Corinth. Now remember, right, these churches, as they're planted, they're house churches. Right? These are house church movements. Right? That's what they are. And so in Corinth, there would have been all these, we don't know how many, but all these different little house churches that then made up the church at Corinth. And so as Paul helped plant that and organize that and deal with that, and he spent 18 months there doing that before he moved on. So he's like, I was there. I'm a father to you. In 1 Corinthians, he talks about that. I'm a father to you spiritually. I have this authority. I have this love, a care for you because of that. And so he points to that. I'm not overextended. This authority, God-given authority, as an apostle, extends to you. Whether you like it or not, it extends to you. And so certainly there were those who didn't like that. But Paul says, I'm not overextending myself. I'm not claiming authority. I'm not trying to tell you what to do outside of the authority that I have. I'm not doing that. You are under my authority. And so that's why I'm dealing with it, because I take that responsibility that God has given me to deal with these issues, to help you, to encourage you, to edify the church at Corinth. Another reason that Paul wasn't as overextending himself, and he doesn't mention it here, but they came to him. They came to him. Paul left Corinth. We know he goes back to Antioch, and then he begins his third missionary journey. Goes to Ephesus. At Ephesus, a group comes from Corinth. Comes to Paul and says, we're having issues, help us. They came to him and asked, please help us. That's why Paul writes 1 Corinthians, in answer to a lot of the questions that they had, some of the issues they were dealing with, because they came to him and asked for his help. And so Paul continued within that vein. And so certainly his desire was as a church that they were offended by some of the things that he had said. And so dealing with that, coming to a place of reconciliation, come to a place where as he would then come and just a month or so probably, he would come and see them in person, laying the groundwork for that. And then it would be good. It would be healthy. That was his desire. So he wasn't overextending himself. And so certainly within spiritually good, godly leadership, there is an understanding of where that leadership extends and where it doesn't extend. Number 9, accept role. This is what I put. And I think this is for all of us. Again, as we've been looking at 2 Corinthians, I've been emphasizing this thought over and over and over and over. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've been cleansed of your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a minister of Jesus Christ. God has ministry for you to represent Him in whatever context, in whatever venue that where you go. Right? You are a minister of Jesus Christ. And so we all must understand and accept those roles within that. And certainly within leadership, there is that thought as well of accepting that role that God has for us. Verse 15. It says, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in another man's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. So Paul understood his specific role that God had for him. There are very few people that are called to be Paul. A few to be like Paul. We think of Paul's ministry. And he acknowledges it here. Paul wanted to be the first. Right? That's how God gifted him, to be the first one to bring the gospel to people. That, right? The tip of the spear, if you will. That thought. That, right? That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to be the first one and proclaim Jesus and then begin this movement of believers that are following Jesus that would then coalesce into a church. Paul never spent more than 2 years anywhere. Most of the churches he was at, he was there for like 2 months. Right? Planting church. That's the ministry that God had for him. Paul understood that and he accepted that role. That certainly is not for everyone. It's not, because someone has to come after that. And so Paul was an instigator. That's where he was. That was his role. He was not a maintainer. He wasn't the one that was going to come later and pastor a church and be there for however long, right? That's not the ministry God had for him. That's not how God had gifted Paul. Again, it seems that Paul wasn't really a great public speaker. That just wasn't where God had gifted. But he was a great teacher. He was a great debater. We know that. In Ephesus, he spent a lot of time debating. He was a great debater. He was great at one-on-one and discipling people one-on-one within that role. And then getting this movement going, coalescing into a church. He was good at that. That's the role that God had given him. So he understood that. He understood his strengths. He understood that there were certainly weaknesses that he had. And he majored on those strengths where God had gifted him. And so he understood his role. And so his role here was to be the first. And then let others come build on the foundation. That's Paul, and he acknowledges, right? After you guys, beyond. I don't want to go where someone else has been. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go somewhere new. I'm going to go somewhere fresh. But then Paul certainly encouraged people like Titus and Timothy and Apollos and others that then come and pastor those churches and be in those churches as they grow. So Paul understood that. He accepted that role. He acknowledges it here as he's talking to the church at Corinth. And then last of all, maybe one of the most important, motivated by the Lord's commendation. Motivated by the Lord's commendation. Verse 17. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commands. So Paul says, if we're going to glory, if we're going to boast in anything, it needs to be in what God is doing, what the Lord is doing. He is the authority. Ultimately, he is the authority in all of our lives. He commands. He gives approval, not man. And for all of us, right, all of our lives, we're not looking for man's approval. We are seeking the Lord's approval, the one who the Lord commands. So on that day, we will hear, good and faithful servant. That's what we all should all. That's what we should want. That's what we should be desiring. That's what we should be looking forward to. So as we live our lives right now, our desire is not to look for other people's commendation. What is it the Lord sees? What is he going to say when that day comes when I stand before him in all eternity? You've done well. Or not. Paul says here, there were those certainly, and there were many within the church at Corinth who were looking for man's commendation, who were looking for all the likes, right, in the age of social media. They wanted all the likes, all the thumbs up, all the subscribers, all of that. Now we want the Lord's commendation, what he desires for us, good and faithful servant. And so as I think about all of this and all of chapter 10 here, again, we all have ministry. We all have spheres of influence that God has given us. We all have different roles. Some of those roles are to lead within that. Some of that role is to, at times, follow. But in all of this, as Paul acknowledges, we are desiring to bring every thought into captivity, into obedience of Christ. For the edification, not destruction of the church. If what we are doing is destroying a church, we are on the wrong path. No, for the edification of the church, for the building up of the church, for the encouragement in our relationships with Christ. And I'm reminded, as we look at this, I'm reminded that we all have baggage. I know we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. Pastor Jim brought this up in Sunday school. But we all have baggage. We all have icky stuff. Bad thinking, stinking thinking, as Pastor Jim says. Right? Things that we think about and that's bad. We all come with that, certainly. And that's why we need the church. That's why we need each other. Not to judge, but to be an encouragement that we would grow. And certainly by the power of Jesus Christ, those things can be laid to rest. And so this morning, I don't know what stronghold, as Paul referred to these things as these strongholds that need pulled down in our lives. I don't know what that might be in your life. I don't know. Maybe there's some traumatic event that happened to you. Maybe there's abuse that happened as a child or whatever in a relationship. I don't know. Maybe there's something else and it's been affecting you. I am telling you, by the power of Jesus Christ, you can let it go. By the power of Jesus Christ, you can forgive and you can be forgiven. And we are in this process of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We are in this process of bringing every thought into captivity. We have not succeeded yet, but we're in that process. And we certainly need to be gracious with each other, understanding with each other for sure. As Paul says here, here's the spiritual warfare for the pulling down of these strongholds, these things in our lives that war against God, these idols, whatever they are, these things that we have allowed to control us and to dominate us. They're not too big. They're not too big. God is able, and certainly within the church and just within, we see Paul here certainly exercising spiritual leadership as an apostle of the church for their good, right? For their good, not for his benefit. And he's going to talk about, as we get to chapter 11, he's going to talk about everything he went through to exercise authority, all the beatings he went through, all the stuff he suffered to do this, to be able to encourage the church. That's right. He went through that for them. He suffered for them. But I think of Jesus Christ, who is our authority, who is the one, he's the reason we are here on this earth, to glorify him, to bring him glory through our lives, to serve him, to represent him. And so this morning I have to ask, do you have a genuine relationship? There are many who go through this life claiming it, but they've never truly placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They've grown up in it, perhaps. Maybe they've made some mental ascent of who Christ is, what Christ has done. But truly, they have never placed their faith in Christ. And so this morning, as Paul says, as we look at ourselves, if we are convinced within ourselves that we are of Christ, right, we need to do that. We need to think, who is it? Who am I? And who is Christ? And have I truly placed my faith in what Christ has done for me? Is an act of our will. It is. We don't save ourselves, but certainly we have to accept the gift that God offers to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And so this morning I ask, oh Lord, for your Spirit to move. And certainly if there's anyone here that is living in unbelief, I pray, oh Lord, that you would convict them, that they would come to a place of trust in you, a place of faith in who you are. And, oh Lord, as certainly we think of the church, and certainly we know of churches that have failed because of bad leadership, because of people who are selfish, because of people who don't want to glorify you but want to glorify themselves. Oh Lord, I pray that we would be humble. I pray that you would accept the leadership of those that you have for us, that we live in submission, that we wouldn't want our own desires. And I pray, O Lord, that we would certainly as a church support each other. I pray, O Lord, as a church that we would grow together, that we would be edified together in you. We thank you, O Lord, for your word. Certainly it is convicting. Certainly it doesn't leave us necessarily always feeling great about ourselves, but Lord, it brings us to a place where we need to be. In submission to you, in repentance before you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would forgive us of our sins. Oh, Lord, as we live as followers of you and as we at times fail, Lord, I just pray, Lord, please forgive us. Give us the power to continue to live a life that glorifies you. Even in the midst of those things that we struggle in, oh, Lord, we are here for each other. We are here to encourage each other. And so we thank you for the church. In Jesus' name. We close our service this morning.